ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Alicia Simmons.
And I'm Lee Boucher.
As historians, we've spent years digging into the lives of people who've changed history, for better or for worse.
So naturally, we are extremely qualified to gossip about them.
And because they're dead, they can't sue.
In our podcast, we sift through Australia's most notable and notorious characters, giving you our unfiltered takes.
Search the Dead Can't Sue podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Pay and productivity. How they interact and conflict has driven some of our biggest economic and policy debates in recent decades. New research from the Centre for Policy Development suggests that workers' wages are not keeping pace with productivity growth and haven't been for the past three decades. So why does our economy's productivity matter? And what larger questions does this raise about how we set wages and harness technology like AI right here in Australia? Welcome to ABC Business Daily. I'm Daniel Ziffer.
And I'm Gareth Hutchins, the ABC's business and economics reporter.
Just a quick reminder, Carrington Clark is away. I'll be steering the ship for the next couple of weeks. If you have any concerns or complaints about the pod, please direct them to Carrington. Now, Gareth, you were reporting from the annual convention of economists, which met last week in Canberra. There was some blockbuster research about wages and productivity, which we will get into. I'm keen to ask you about. But before we get stuck into that, what's the deal with the conference? What's the vibe?
Well, this is an annual conference that's run by the Economic Society of Australia. It's a three-day conference. This year it was held at the University of Canberra. And it's basically an annual get-together of the who's who of Australian economists. So we saw David Gruen there. He's the boss of the Australian Bureau of Statistics. We see people like Richard Holden. Ken Henry was slated to speak but had to pull out at the last minute. All of these people. And we get some international speakers to come and give guest note lectures each night. And it's an opportunity for everybody to get together to show each other their most recent research, their most recent findings, and just nerd out over economics and statistics.
And as always, when I ask about conferences, how was the catering?
It was better than you'd imagine. It wasn't just cold sandwiches with a slice of salami on them. There was some, nice hot food served up.
The catering level is often a good indicator of how well that sector is going.
Well, economists are some of the best paid in Australia, so put it that way.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, let's get into this. New research from CPD presented at the Australian Conference of Economists in Canberra got people talking. I'll just disclose that I am friends with the CEO of the Centre for Policy Development, Andrew Hudson. What did the research say?
Yeah, so they presented their findings. So they'll be coming out with their report a bit later, but they presented their findings to the conference. So this is one of the good things about the conference where you get a forewarning of what research will be coming out. So this research by the CPD was conducted by Warwick Smith and Adelaida Soltysiak. Now, Warwick Smith, he was formerly trained as an ecologist. So he's a scientist who has then gone back and retrained as an economist. So he brings a scientist's perspective to economics. So he's big on saying, okay, well, we like to think of the economy as operating within the environment. But we need to think more broadly in that the economy can only survive if the environment remains healthy. Mm-hmm. So he's one of these guys. Very, very interesting guy. Now, their research that they've presented is showing that from 1995 all the way up to 2024, productivity growth has been growing, but the gains from the productivity growth have not been equally shared with workers. More and more of the gains have been captured by businesses. Now, this is an ongoing debate within the economics community. The Productivity Commission found in recent years that there has been no significant decoupling between productivity and labour compensation, but the Australian Bureau of Statistics has found evidence that wages have fallen behind productivity.
So, sorry to jump in, but the Productivity Commission is the government's think tank. What they've been saying is that productivity and the amount people are paid is essentially like a twisting vine. They've been together, heading upwards. This has been the dominant narrative about productivity leads to better living standards, leads to more money. What does this research say that is so very different?
The whole thing we hear about in economics is that productivity is basically, it's basically everything in the long run. Productivity growth is said to be the major driving of higher living standards over time. And the gains from productivity growth are supposed to be returned to people in three ways: in higher real wages, in lower prices, and in more free time. Now, the Productivity Commission has said that that dynamic essentially is still working in Australia. And the only thing, it's the mining and agricultural industries that have been largely responsible for driving what appears to be an aggregate wage decoupling across Australia over the last 30 years. But if you remove those two industries from the data, then the problem largely disappears. So they say, since 95, the wages of over 95% of our working population have risen pretty closely in line with productivity. But the CPD researchers say they don't think so. They think there's some methodological problems here.
The Productivity Commission, they say that, yes, mining and agriculture, it's been different, right? But even if you remove them, those two industries where technology has enabled more to be done, a greater productivity lift, even if you remove those, that the productivity gain of everyone else and the wages have essentially twinned like that vine. They've gone up. 95% of workers have seen those gains. What is really fascinating to me is that the CPD researchers challenge that finding. What do they challenge about it?
Well, for instance, and this might be some quite intuitive for you and me, given we work in the media, but they found that when it comes to information media and telecommunications industry, that has experienced the highest productivity growth in the last decade, let's just say the last decade, but real median wages in the industry have clearly not kept pace. And if you think about it, like the amount of technology that you and I have at hand now, which makes it easier to produce stories and everything, it doesn't mean that our wages have kept up with this. It just means that we're able to now pump out four or five stories every day and we're all super stressed about it, but we're not getting compensated for it.
It was always a mistake for me to sign on to a contract where I'm paid by the year at the ABC rather than paid by the word. Because I think if we were paid by the word, Gareth, we'd be doing a lot better.
We would.
Because that productivity growth has been there, right? Like, we are now producing stories on many more formats, and so is everyone else in the media. And in some ways, the technology has enabled that to occur.
Yeah, but think about it also. So the famous rivers of gold from, say, the 1980s, where people were on very high incomes, well, main columnists that people love, very, very high incomes. They were not having to do a daily news story, jump on radio, do a podcast, do a reel for TikTok, also write their column. It just wasn't happening. But at the same time, the industry was more profitable back then as well. So that's something else you have to keep in mind. So would you say that the legacy media is less profitable than it was back then? I would say it is, but vastly, vastly. But also, the gains from the productivity that have been made by the industry these days are also not flowing to the workers. So there's a few big different dynamics occurring there. Now, that's just one example from this CBD research.
The Productivity Commission has an assumption that Australians' average work hours have fallen partly because people are choosing to work less. So this would be on the theory that, well, their wages have risen and thus they are working less and still making as much. So the productivity has worked and they are getting more of the benefits out of their labour and thus can work less. How does the CPD research challenge that finding?
Yeah, so the data does show, and this is not Productivity Commission data, this is just data from the HILDA survey, that the average weekly hours have drifted down since the turn of the century, so since 2001, from 38.5 hours to 36.5 hours. So they've drifted down on average by 2 hours over that time. Now, the Productivity Commission assumes that about a quarter of that is because people are just choosing more leisure time. But the CPD researchers say, well, if falling hours reflected a conscious choice by Australians for more leisure, then we should find that household hours are falling, not individual hours, but household hours. We should also be finding that shifts to part-time work were a choice rather than a necessity. and that mother's post-birth decline in working hours was a choice rather than a necessity, and that the decline in the work hours that we have seen in the last 25 years should be concentrated among Australia's high-income earners who can actually afford to purchase more leisure time. But this is not what's happening. They think that the biggest drop, well, they say the biggest drop in hours are happening amongst people with the lowest wages. So this is not a choice story. This is telling a story about part-time work, about gig work, and casualization.
What's fascinating about this Centre for Policy Development Research is that it challenges really well-established narratives about how our economy works and where the benefits are flowing. Now, there are people who've been saying for a long time, hold on, wages have decoupled from productivity, hold on, profits are going to business owners at a higher rate, at a higher share than they were previously. But there's been this, you know, this dominant narrative that, oh, people are choosing less hours, people are making these choices. One of the things that this research illuminates is that some of what we've been talking about probably hasn't been formatted right. We probably haven't been having this conversation based on what's really occurring.
Well, one distinction they do make is that the Productivity Commission uses averages, whereas it's saying, no, the typical worker is the median worker, because that's where the majority, the middle of the income distribution, that's where people reside. Averages are skewed by extremely high incomes. So if you really want to think about where productivity growth is going, you've got to look at the median rather than the averages.
Having done that, what bigger questions does this raise about our economy?
Well, think about what's happening to our economy right now when we have a big push of investment and construction in data centers. These things are being pushed on us. Many of us don't want it to be happening. But the government is saying that this, and the big tech companies that are pushing it on us, are saying that this is where we will get a huge productivity boost in coming years. Now, what these guys are saying from the CPD is that if we are going to be pushing for more data centers to boost our productivity, we have to think very deeply about how to capture the gains from the productivity increases to make sure that they are shared amongst the population in an equitable way, and that they also help to improve our environment and ecology. Because they reference in this paper, in their research, the economic Nobel laureates Doron Acemoglu and Simon Johnson. Now, those two, they won the Nobel Prize in 2024. They have also a recent bestseller called Power and Progress, where they said in that book, there is nothing automatic about new technologies bringing widespread prosperity. Whether they do or not is an economic, social, and political choice. And this, I think, is what CPD is actually getting at. They say the reality is that the distribution of productivity gains is determined by labor institutions, wage-setting institutions, and bargaining power more broadly. So if we want rising real wages, we need to be thinking about where power lies in our economy and think about what path these data centers is putting our country on. We need to make sure that these data centers are going to be, the gains from them will be captured and shared amongst the community.
Now, we just touched on real wages, which is essentially the purchasing power that people have. It's wage increases minus the impact of inflation. Recently, the OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which is 38 member countries of kind of similar economies, put out some really fascinating research about real wages in Australia. What did it show, and how does that play into these bigger questions?
Yeah, so it said that it warned about the decline in real wage growth in Australia in recent years, saying it was really concerning because since early 2021, so 4 years ago, before we had that surge in energy prices, so since then, real hourly wages in Australia have fallen by about 5%, which is one of the steepest declines amongst OECD countries. So it's a sustained erosion of purchasing power. And it just, there's this persistent pressure on household incomes. Even as our labor market has remained pretty solid, our purchasing power is really suffering. And you can see that feeding into our politics right now, where the cost of living and just the grinding, the feeling that everybody's under, the pressure that we're all feeling. It's a real big problem.
Now, by way of comparison, the average OECD member country saw a 5% lift in real wages from March 2021. We saw a 5% decline. What are the specific Australian factors that have powered that gap?
Well, the most obvious one is the fact that our inflation has been above the RBA's target now for a number of years. Even with the recent increase in the minimum wage in Australia, it's the minimum wage still hasn't kept pace with inflation. And everybody knows if prices are rising faster than your wages, then your purchasing power is declining. And so that has been a dynamic that has been in Australia's economy for a number of years now, for at least 4 years. That's a big one. Other countries have had inflation coming down faster than us. Ours came down, but then it stayed kind of stubbornly just above the RBA's 2-3% target band. And now, of course, it's on the way back up for various reasons.
Now, international research sees that wage and productivity decoupling we've been talking about today has been happening across advanced economies. Is this a bigger thing that the world is dealing with in similar economies to Australia?
It is, because we're part of a globalised system now, and a lot of advanced economies like Australia, we all see the same things happening. So we've been talking recently about falling house prices. Well, house prices are falling in other comparable countries. We have all been living with that secular decline in interest rates for the last 20 years, where inflation was also coming down. We're all before the pandemic in 2020, we're all talking about the potential of economies suffering from secular stagnation. What are we going to do to get inflation and economic growth back up? Well, now we're all suffering from the other problem. We can't get inflation back down and get productivity growth up.
There are levers that we can have to close that gap between pay and productivity. The government has talked a lot about productivity since it took office. What are the strongest levers we could pull, the kind of quick fixes, or is this really a longer term thing that we have been struggling with?
It's a very difficult question to answer, only because if governments could quickly fix productivity, they would. You would think.
You would hope so.
Actually, can I just say, at the economics conference, so in this same seminar where the CPD researchers presented their research, there was an official from the Australian Bureau of Statistics. He also gave a small presentation where he's talking about the actual granular problems with measuring productivity. And he said there is even, unfortunately, some problem with our debate at the moment, because for methodological reasons, when you get down to it, when people talk about the difference between market prices and non-market prices and the productivity levels in the market sector and the non-market sector, it's even not that simple, because when you look at what's categorized as the non-market sector, so think of things like these are government-administered prices, or they're healthcare workers, they're public sector workers. In large parts of what's supposed to be the non-market sector, they are, let's just say 60%.
Sure.
So I'm pulling a number out of the air that he used. For some parts of that are actually subject to market pricing, but we categorize them as non-market pricing. And so if you want to get down to how to improve productivity, a big part of it is that it's actually really difficult to know what we're measuring in big parts of our economy. And the reason why we do this is because these categories were set decades ago. They're international standards, so it just helps you to compare your country with another country. But really, as our economies have evolved so much in recent decades, those categories are becoming kind of more and more old-fashioned, and we need to update them. Everybody's aware of this. If the government wants to improve productivity, it's part of the problem is that it's going to have to somehow have our statistical agencies update their categories. So, I mean, you want to get into that? It's really, really hard to do this stuff.
And it's particularly hard as you note, our economy has changed to embrace more of what's called those non-market sectors. They're a bigger part of the economy. They're really human part of the economy. They're very hard to measure.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And what do we want from our economy? Like when you are sick and you go to a hospital, you want the care to be great. Like you want to actually leave the hospital, right? Now, how do you measure productivity in that sense? It's kept your heart beating. I mean, and now you can go out and be more productive. It's like they're fascinating discussions to have. It gets philosophical very quickly. But we do not want an economy that is purely, that is absolutely obsessed with inputs and outputs. We also want to talk about quality of life. We want to walk outside and have trees still standing with birds sitting in them that are still able to sing songs to us. You know, it's about a clean environment, quality of life, leisure time to spend with your family. You want to have the ability to reproduce the next generation of Australians. These are all things that don't come very easily under strict statistical categories. It's a hard one to do.
A big discussion, lots to get into. Please do read Gareth Hutchins' fantastic article, which is on the ABC website. All the facts and figures that we've talked about today are in there. That's it for today's episode of ABC Business Daily. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. Make sure you're following us on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to send us a question, please email abcbusinessdaily@abc.net.au. That's ABC Business Daily, all one word, at abc.net.au. Gareth, lovely to chat. Catch you later.
Thanks for having me, Dan.